Hey everybody, welcome to the 35th episode of the Opemon podcast. And today I'm joined by Niraj Naik, who has a very interesting story of his own journey of self-healing, which I love hearing of these stories, you know, where people they sort of start out in some sort of way in the pharmaceutical industry system, but then something happens and then they realize that the pharmaceutical industry isn't actually helping them or whatever. Then they go on this incredible journey of trying to find their own way of healing themselves. So Niraj, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, absolute pleasure to be here, man.
Cool. Yeah, I'm really interested to get your story. So do you want to give a bit of an introduction to yourself and how you got to where you are now?
Yes, certainly. So my name's Niraj. I actually was a community pharmacist, as you said, many years ago in the UK. I assume you're from the UK.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to live in Berkshire. That's where I'm from. And I worked for about 7 years as a community pharmacist. And really, that's where I got a big insight into what it means to work in the NHS, the modern kind of mainstream healthcare system. And all I saw was people, majority of the people, like vast majority of people getting worse, not better. And I chose to do this profession because I thought it was a helping profession, right? And I realized pretty quickly that there's a huge flaw in the whole system because people will come in for one little prescription and then they'll go away suddenly with shopping bags full of drugs, right? Over a period of a few months, you'd see it happen, like the timeline. So, I have an analogy for medication, which is if you bash your head against the wall, right? What do? You get a swelling on your head, you get some ice, put the swelling on the, put the ice on the swelling, and it kind of helps, get the inflammation down, right? So that's the drugs is the ice. But if you keep bashing your head against the wall, it doesn't matter how much ice you've got, the swelling is going to get worse and worse and worse, right? So what pharmacists are really good at doing is giving you the ice, but really what you need to do is just stop the person from bashing their head against the wall, right? And they don't look at that, okay? Because that's, I don't know if it's good for business. So I clocked onto that pretty quickly, the whole shenanigans that is the pharmaceutical system. And I was quite a rebel in that system. Like I didn't fit in. It's incredible how many people just put up with it and don't question it and just do as they're told and just follow the rules. Because you do a degree which takes like 5, 6 years. It's very intense. Studying, you have to study, study, study. So you're working your butt off, right? Like to get to become a pharmacist in the first place. The moment you become a pharmacist, all of that's thrown out the window. None of that matters because all you're doing is following a checklist of protocols. So they don't think anymore, pharmacists. They just follow checklists. You could have a AI robot do a better job than most pharmacists because they won't make the mistakes that pharmacists do when they're tired, right? When they're self-medicating, for example, right? So I just didn't fit in the system. I'm too creative. I'm too right brain, whole brain hemisphere activated kind of person. So I was a real troublemaker. And actually, at one point, I got so depressed. I got taken to Tony Robbins' event by a friend. And that was the first time I heard anyone talk about diet, nutrition, and prevention, right? So I was like, oh, that's the not bashing the head against the wall stuff. So I was like, right, I've got a pharmacy full of sick patients. Let's test this out. So I actually started to give healthy shopping lists to patients based on their conditions. And I got started to get really good results very quickly, like profound results. So I was like, wow, there's something to this. Like just changing people's diets. The first line of Hippocrates, like he was the father of medicine, was first do no harm, right? So we're meant to do everything we possibly can to try to not get somebody onto drugs. But right now it's first do harm because we're giving farm. It should be first do no farm, PHARM. Which is actually the book of a friend of mine, Asim Malhotra, Dr. Asim Malhotra. So, yeah, so basically, it says in the Hippocratic Oath as well, food, let food be thy medicine, the medicine be thy food, right? So diet, nutrition, food is an important medicine in its own right. It should be tried first. What if tried first before you put somebody on drugs? The only time you put somebody on drugs is last resort, when you have no hope. This is the emergency situation. You must, you know, if you have a crazy car accident and your arm falls off or something, you need some kind of medications to help. And there's some painkillers that can help with the pain. So, you know, in emergency situations, yes. But what they're being used for in a big way right now is chronic conditions, which are life issues, diseases of lifestyle, meaning diseases of three things, major components of lifestyle, right? We can put it down to diet, sleep, and exercise, right? Lifestyle factors. And all these, believe it or not, affects your breathing. And if you want to go even deeper to what is the root cause of most disease, you need to look at Dr. Buteyko and the Buteyko method, who actually healed himself of chronic malignant hypertension by going to pranayama and yoga, which is what I did too. And the root cause of most diseases, okay, if you want to really look at what's the bashing the head against the wall, is actually low body tissue oxygenation. So it comes back down to breathing. What? How do we get oxygen into our body tissue cells? It's through breath. When we breathe in oxygen, right? So we go without food for weeks, water for days, but breathing for just minutes. So why is it still the least talked about thing in conventional mainstream health? Luckily, COVID happened. Like, okay, it's not lucky, but still, it's the first thing that woke up everybody to how breathing is. You stop breathing, right? You're dead. Right, just for a few minutes, unless you're a super yogi, you can maybe go for 10 minutes. But you know, most people, they don't breathe, right? Again, they're going to get brain damage. So what I did, what I found, what I discovered when I got very sick myself of a chronic autoimmune disease, was that when this very amazing friend of the family, Swami Amukananda, she said, "You got this. Look, you can turn this around with your tenacity and your passion to want to help people. Can make a big impact in the world." So that kind of changed my perception already of this disease from a burden to a gift. That in itself can bring people out of their disease into remission. Just that belief change. So that was the first step, making peace with the situation I was in. I was full of blame, hate. I hated the industry. I hated pharmaceutical companies. I hated everybody, right? Except for myself. I hated myself the most out of everyone else. So basically, I had to make peace with my situation. And she said, "Look, in order to help you along this journey, what you need to know is the foundation of yoga, right? Which is a complete system of transformation and alignment, right? And so the breath is the first thing you learn, how to master your breath. So with simple breathing exercises, I got such relief. I think it was because it made me actually get oxygen to areas of the body that hadn't had oxygen before. It helped me recharge and reboot myself. But not only that, there's certain techniques in pranayama, like breath retention techniques, that actually create strengthening from within. So all of this combined with then my own research, where I went into Ayurveda to learn about real diet, nutrition, what's aligned to you, so you don't fall into this trap of one size fits all. Because everyone has a different diet according to who you are. But what you eat may be different from me and vice versa, right? For your health and balance and well-being. So using that system for the diet, nutrition side, and also just lifestyle modification. But then also, then I discovered like the power of reprogramming the unconscious mind. If you see the mind as an operating system, right, and the body is a super efficient biocomputer with an operating system. We have mindware, which is our software of the mind. We get programmed from an early age. And that's what creates us, our sense of self, our sense of identity, who we are. So using special hypnotic tools with breathwork combined, you can go in there and reprogram the system. You can clear thought viruses out that hold you back and like make you do stupid shit, like go and become a pharmacist in the first place. So, right. So all of these things can be reprogrammed and you can then become in alignment with your truth. So that's what yoga is also about. Traditional yoga is about discovering your real truth. You truly are when you peel away all the layers of conditioning that society has put on you. You know, Terence McKenna says, culture is not your friend, right? Okay, it's kind of out to get you almost, right? Because it's the way culture has been designed. It's like programs you to become a consumer. So you have to get out of this cultural hypnosis and you need to use the power of hypnosis yourself to reprogram how you want. So that's what I discovered how to do. I made this into a system eventually because I got so much benefit myself. And as a pharmacist, I was like, well, I'm still a pharmacist, but I want to make a better system. So that's Soma Breath. So we're in the process, we're in the business of prevention, right? We can also help people who are sick to gain balance. And we are everything you should do before the last resort medication. So we're still complementary to pharmaceutical industry, but we are a replacement for a lot of the stuff that they try to fix with drugs that are not intelligent, they're not smart, and they cause side effects and they cause more disease, more problems over the long run. So now Soma Breath has grown into a pretty big thing. We've got over 2,000 instructors. I'm in my absolute divine flow, I call it, in absolute alignment. And yeah, it's all good.
That's amazing, man. Just
I've answered your question.
Yeah, yeah. And just what you're saying at the end there about being in your divine flow, that's, you know, that's very powerful, my man. I love that. And yeah, as you're speaking, obviously, I've gotten getting loads of questions come to me. I think I'll start almost chronological here. You were saying about how you would give your people that would come to you in the pharmacy like a healthy shopping list. Could you expand a little bit more what that looked like?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So what does a healthy shopping list look like? It's really simple. So let's start with this. People are so obsessed with diets, right? So obsessed with it to the point of that they get stressed out. And diet even has the word die in it. And I've noticed people who are super obsessed with diets are usually the ones who are the sickest and don't seem to get better. And then you can end up in this kind of fanaticism and it becomes a religion of itself, right? You know, so I've tried to move away from that kind of way of thinking. And what I do believe, though, there is a right diet for each individual. There's a bio-individuality. So for some people, raw vegan food really, really works very well. Others, not so much. Others, carnivore diet works really well. Others, not so much. So you have to find your identity, who you are, your bio-individuality. So using the Ayurvedic system, you can identify what that is. And that's what I did. And I made the mistake. I fell for the whole one-size-fits-all thing from the mainstream media back in 2011. They were pushing raw vegan diets. I tried that and it made my ulcer colitis. I had an autoimmune disease where I was shitting blood like 40 times a day. It made it 100 times worse. I wasn't getting better. And in Ayurveda, it says you need more grounding, nourishing foods if you have this condition to ground you. And and in some cases, meat really helps. So I looked around as well. They said success leaves clues, Tony Robbins' line, model success. So I looked at who has actually healed them from osteoclitis naturally, and I found there was a strong link between those using bone broths, beef, and things like that to get better. Now I come from a Hindu background, so the idea of eating beef was totally completely controversial to me. So I was like, this is insane, like, are you serious? Like, I have to try and eat beef. So I broke actually a habit that I had for a long time and started eating beef. Broke this dogma of religion as well, and literally that, and then taking colostrum, which is the first milk you get when you're born, is full of loads of growth factors and it helps promote good bacterial flora and helps seal the lining of the gut. That's amazing for gut health issues. I started to use that because that's an Ayurvedic medicine too, and I had amazing health, like, transformation within That combined with everything else I did, I was done in 4 days. Sorry, 4 months. And I then recommend it to many other people, and they've had the same result. So, you know, model success. So I know this stuff works. So my point is that there's many different types of diets for each person. You've got to find what works for you. But I've boiled it down to a few simple rules. We're naturally, if we listen to ourselves, our body, we're naturally drawn to certain tastes and flavors, right? And through that instinct, right, we can actually find already the types of foods that works for us, okay? But it has to be when you were not stressed out. When we're stressed out, very angry, stressed, emotionally stressed out, we won't be drawn to foods that are good for us. We'll end up eating stuff that isn't so good for us usually, okay? So from your default, when you're in a good place, happy place, you're in an intuitive place, you'll be able to naturally draw the right foods to you. But the Ayurvedic system can help filter that process for you. But so simple rules of food is eat what you absolutely love, like you really love, right? But it's got to be the no factory diet. So the food has to be natural, whole, and not made in a packet. It shouldn't come in a packet. It shouldn't have ingredients on it you can't pronounce. That's the one golden rule. That's my main diet, is the no factory diet. Then the rules that I follow are actually more about how to eat. So eating mindfully, meaning you are consciously chewing your food 30 times is a good amount. You take one mouthful, chew, 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 and count 30 chews. That will actually break the food down, because your gut doesn't have teeth, right? So you need to use your teeth to chew. Now, a lot of people's gut issues is because they gorge food down really fast. They just, you know, in England, people see food as fuel. So they just have 5 minutes to eat their lunch and they just shove it down. Then they get back to work, right? In Spain, Italy, where people live way longer, they eat actually for 2 hours. The lunch breaks are like 2 hours long. They take ages to eat their food, and they chill and they hang out with everybody and socialize and relax, right? So there's something to that, eating quickly versus eating slowly. Also, what it means is you don't overeat, okay? Go to America where food is fuel. You order some pancakes at one of those restaurants, you'll see stacks of, and sometimes they don't stop. There's a person just keeps bringing them onto your plate. And a person doesn't stop eating until their time's run up for lunch. So in 10 minutes, they may eat 10 pancakes. This is mental, right? And that's because when you eat really quickly, because your stomach doesn't have teeth, right? You just end up with a lot of food undigested. But you need the food to reach a certain part of the colon and intestine for you to register the fiber that you're full up. That's what tells you that you're full up. And if that doesn't happen because you're overeating, your stomach just keeps filling up with food and you don't feel full up until at least 20 minutes have gone past. So in 20 minutes of eating at a very fast rate, you can consume a lot of food. So if you eat very slowly and chew your food, you'll actually eat the right portion for your stomach, okay? Which is going to be significantly less than what you probably think. And you should eat to about 80% full. Every religion you'll look at, every religion has a guideline for food and diet and how to eat. All of them do. From Judaism to Christianity to Buddhism to Hinduism, right? They all have rules and advice. And what they say is, in the yogic system, for example, eat 80% full and leave a little bit for air, right? And the air, there's a technique to eat, to drink air into your guts that we teach in Slow and Breath. The air kills anaerobic bacteria, the bad bacteria that causes all the problems. And if you're 80% full, you're not overeating, meaning you're not stressing the body and you're not affecting the breathing and hyperventilating as a result. So these are the rules. Chew, no factory diet, eat to 80% full and eat what you absolutely love. And then use the Ayurvedic system if you need to, to find what's good for you. Like, but in a general rule, right, the people who are very heavy sets, big bone, have a tendency to put on weight, they're the kapha dosha type. And they easily put on weight, right? Now, in the Ayurvedic system, food is divided by tastes and energy types. So kapha foods are sweet and savory foods. They are like the very earthy foods, like the grounding foods, right? They're the sweet and savory tastes. Pitta foods are fiery foods. So we're made up of three of these, one of these three, or a combination of these energies in the Ayurveda. It's very, very logical when you think about it. Pitta is fire. It's the metabolic fire that runs our body, right? So the foods of fire are pungent flavors, spicy flavors, all right? And then the vata flavors are bitter. And that's like space and air and ether, all right? So if you are very kapha, if you're overweight, if you're big bone and overweight, you want to eat less of the sweet and savory foods and more of the bitter, stringent, and spicy, pungent foods. Now, if you're very vata, right? The vata is the opposite. Skinny, slim, a bit more like me, speak fast, think fast, forget fast, learn quickly. You know, they're quick change. They like change. They don't sit still. You know people like that, I'm sure. They waste away if they eat vata foods because they're already vata. Like, they'll become more skinny. That's like the bitter astringent. So that's all the salads. That's all the green leafy vegetables and things like that. So they need more sweet, savory, and more spicy foods, right? My diet consists more of sweet, savory, and spicy. I'm like, I piss people off because I can eat so much of that stuff and not put on weight. Whereas the kapha person can eat just one of those meals and suddenly gain some pounds, right? People are the lucky. Digestify means they can consume almost anything, but it also means that they're not very good at being hungry. They get hangry very easily. So fiery people, they're like usually medium build, athletic build, and they're very driven, motivated. They're very athletic usually. They like going down the gym. They like routines. They like leading teams. They like to be the boss of the alpha characters. They tend to, you know, they're the people you can rely on to run your company, right? Maybe not come up with the ideas, but they're good at running it, the operators. So they can eat a lot of different varieties of food, right? But they don't want to go hungry too much. So intermittent fasting is an interesting one because it doesn't work for everybody. Some people thrive with intermittent fasting. Others don't, right? Some people get extremely anxious and hangry. And that's not good. You want to enjoy your day. You want to enjoy your life. Like, you don't want to spend most of your life anxious and hangry just because you read in a book somewhere that you're going to live longer. That's just nonsense. You want quality of life. So all of this wisdom is already in the Ayurvedic system. And what's happened is that the modern wellness industry has suddenly caught onto science, trying to use science to prove everything. And they've forgotten their own common sense. And mainstream wellness industry is like 10 years old, 20 years old, right? You know, before that, there wasn't real science like we have now, right? But Ayurveda has been around for 1,000 years, a lot of wisdom, okay, a lot of testing. I went to a very big biohacking conference. We were headlining. I was headlining as a breathwork guy. And there's a very famous speaker on there called Dr. Mercola, who I actually love. He was the gateway drug for me to get into this world. His stuff really helps me. But he admitted he was wrong with keto diets and said maybe they're not as good as I thought. And actually, we need some carbs, the simple carbs like fruits and white rice and things like that. Simple carbs, easy to digest, rather than complex carbs. So he was changing his track. And what I found is that a lot of these so-called experts change their mind every time the new study comes out because they don't know enough from the past. They're just looking at what's going on now scientifically. And they're just making stuff up. And then a lot of people follow those people. And then they don't hear the new update and carry on making those mistakes. That's why I always go to the wisdom of the past now. And I look at evidence. I look at models of success. So I stop people falling for this one size fits all. Everyone should eat keto. Everyone should be carnivore. Everyone should be vegan. It's complete nonsense. It's absolutely the biggest scam ever that's been pushed. So we're all individual. We're all unique. The only rule that really matters is the no factory diet. Because just eat real food, man. Learn how to cook your own meals. All right? You're going to save yourself a lot of problems.
Awesome. Yeah. And there's a saying there, or a phrase that's new for me, at least, but I get the wording behind it. Bio-individuality. I really like that. And it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And it also, it takes a lot of pressure off, I suppose, because there are lots of people that do think that there is only one way for a human to live. And it has to be this kind of way and this kind of diet. And also, you touched on this earlier, and then you mentioned it again about how the diet can affect our breathing, which is quite fascinating. So could you expand a little bit more about how that actually works?
Yeah. So remember, breathing is how we produce energy in the body, right? So it happens in the mitochondria. Mitochondria are like car combustion engines, right? They're like tiny little furnaces burning fuel, oxygen and glucose. And it's just like an inner fire. Right. And just like a normal car, if you drive it too hard for too long, what happens? It breaks down due to wear and tear. We've constantly got wear and tear going on inside our mitochondria all the time, this inner fire. And that creates free radicals and oxidative stress. And our life is bad against oxidative stress. Right. So Helmut C says, he's the founder of redox chemistry, says, although it's very hard to live without oxygen, it's very hard to live with oxygen. Because oxygen is stress. So the whole process of yoga, traditional yoga, is all about becoming as efficient as using oxygen as possible to mitigate oxidative stress so you can live longer, a better quality of life, right? So it all comes down to your breathing volume, how much volume you need to breathe in per minute, and also your breathing rates. But it's more your volume of air. So Lao Tzu, a Chinese philosopher, a very famous one you may have heard of, he said a perfect human breathes like they don't breathe at all. So reverse engineering that, somebody who doesn't need to breathe much would mean that they're like a finely tuned Tesla engine that doesn't make any noise because they're so efficient at using that energy. That makes sense. So when you eat the wrong foods, your body is now having to expend a lot of energy to break down that food. So processed foods is the hardest to digest. So all your energy is going to digestion. You know how it is when, like, you've eaten a processed, I'm sure you've done it, I've done it, McDonald's or something horrible like KFC or whatever. I mean, it tastes great, but it's horrible. You just feel like in a food coma. You've heard that expression, food coma. A food coma is the worst state you want to be in, right? Shouldn't go into food comas. But if you go into a food coma, it means your body is now kind of switched off all activity to deal with the stress you've just thrown at it in the belly, right? So overeating causes that, and also eating the wrong foods, like highly processed foods, super complex carbohydrates and proteins, very hard to digest. Very cooked meats, like very well-done meats, is really hard to digest. You should always eat steaks raw, rare, or the Japanese had it totally right. They just eat everything raw. You know, or very medium rare is probably the best you can go, right? So you want to eliminate as much having to digest as possible because it takes up a lot of energy to digest food. So fruits are very easy to digest, super easy. You know, most fruits are very easy to digest, okay? Raw meats are very easy to digest, right? But carbohydrates like breads, very hard to digest. Certain leafy vegetables, green vegetables, root vegetables, hard to digest. So a lot of energy goes to consumption. And what that does is it means you're driving unnecessary mitochondrial energy, which then means you are creating more oxidative stress in the body. And what you'll end up doing as well during this time is hyperventilate. If you hyperventilate, right, what you're doing is you're getting rid of the most important gas for getting oxygen into your body tissue cells. That's CO2. CO2 is the number one most important gas to your body. not oxygen. Oxygen, we have an abundance of it. So it's produced internally through respiration. When we hyperventilate and we breathe through our mouth, for example, we let go of a lot of CO2. Huge volumes of air. If you breathe through your nose, it's a lot less. So you should always breathe through our nose. If you get rid of CO2, CO2 is the signal that tells your blood where to drop off oxygen in the body, right? So if you get rid of all the CO2, you don't have this signal, and oxygen stays stuck to your red blood cells. This causes oxidation of the red blood cell and all of your arteries, which eventually leads to high blood pressure and atherosclerosis plaques and heart attacks. Number one killer is heart attacks. So if you are overeating, if you're spending too much energy consuming food, you're hyperventilating whilst you're digesting. What that does, getting rid of that CO2 means you've got little oxygen going to the rest of your body. That's why people fall asleep. They haven't got enough energy left. The body needs to rest. And getting deprived of oxygen in the most important parts of your body, the heart, your brain, you know. So basically, overeating causes death, early death, by messing up your respiration. So by eating 80% full, you won't hyperventilate. If you eat the right foods, you'll feel energized after eating rather than food coma. Make sense?
Yes, yeah, that is a great explanation. Thank you for that. Okay, cool, man. Yeah, so there's plenty more here that I've got to ask you. So I'd just like to dive into a bit about how you were saying you now running these retreats, and you've got, well, like 2,000 instructors, and that, which is incredible. Big ups to that. And you're saying that you're sort of like a barrier, or before people should go to the mainstream pharmaceutical thing, they should try what you're doing first. And I'm really curious, like, what do people come to learn from you? Like, what kind of issues do they have, and what can you usually help people with?
Great question. So I like to look at breathwork as a pharmacy, right? So we have techniques that are like what you normally go to the pharmacy for, over-the-counter stuff, like from unblocking your nose to fixing heartburn to going to sleep, you know, pain relief. We have a breathing technique or somatic, each one of those, right? But then there's deeper things that we can work with, like basically, and this is my mantra, healing trauma doesn't have to be traumatic. Now, a lot of trauma-based practices out there are very traumatizing, the process of going through it. And I see often people getting re-traumatized as a result. So with us, we go towards bliss. And bliss, the neurosomatic bliss state, which is a consciousness state where every single cell of your being is harmonized as one, can be invoked through certain things, like cannabis can get you there. That's why people love medicinal marijuana. It harmonizes the endocannabinoid system. But you can also get there through breath work. With breathing exercises, we can create an alignment to one of the most important systems in our body, endocannabinoid system, to create the full body bliss state. This full body bliss state allows us to start rewiring, reprogramming, releasing old trauma. And also clearing out information from the past, changing our perception filters of how we see reality so that we can make peace with the past. We can turn on, tune in, cop out, like Timothy Leary would say, right? So we can wake up to all the nonsense that is not serving us and start to move into alignment. We can have compassion for people. We can forgive people who have done something to us in the past that we've been hung up on for too long. Because I'll tell you what, if you hold on to anger, guilt, shame, right? These emotions, if you hold on to it like a fire, that fire burns inside. That inner fire will drive your breathing and you'll be unconsciously hyperventilating. Those people who are really stressed and angry, pissed off, suffer from chronic hyperventilation. They don't even know they're doing it. And it affects them a lot in the sleep. That mild hyperventilation is usually due to holding on to the past or being extremely anxious about the future. So what we can do with our transformational coaches, what they do is they help create a complete transformation by helping people to wake up to their programming, their conditioning, like a computer program. And we teach them all the different ways they've been programmed, all the way up how the brain's formed to who they are. And then we teach them how to rewire themselves to become their own gurus. So they're not dependent anymore on any therapists or, you know, psychotherapists or psychiatrists. So this is what we're about. It's like, so the emotional healing, self-realization, that's the spiritual path you can go down, which is really the healer of all things. That's why we encourage people to go down our 21-day awakening journey, which is all about that. And that can heal many issues, resolve many issues, because so many issues are the result of a faulty mindware, faulty operating system, and a dysfunctioning hardware, the somatic intelligence. So we teach people how to upgrade all of this in our 21-day awakening journey. And in 21 days, people have the most insanely epic transformations. Yeah.
Nice, man. Yeah, and I love how you've approached the shadow work side of this, but not by, like you say, some people get re-traumatized from going through all this trauma stuff, and you're taking them to neurosomatic bliss states. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that for a saying? That's awesome. So yeah, big ups to that, man. It sounds really, really powerful.
Nice.
And so what do we have here? So you touched on this a little bit, and there's a video on your channel that really caught my eye. I had to ask you about this, and it's saying, let's get it up again, the psychedelic power of breath work. Now, I recently met a man, and he was actually at this free meditation at a beach, and he's talking about breath work, and he's saying that he can sometimes trigger this, what he calls a release of DMT. He gets into cold water, he does the breath work, and then he sometimes says he has these visions, and it sounded really powerful. So is that sort of along the lines of what you're talking about here?
Yeah. So with deeper techniques, you can actually wake up these tryptamines. So, you know, near-death experiences actually takes you into these altered states. You can trick your brain into thinking it's having a near-death experience just by the length of time you can hold your breath after the exhale. So we teach people how to hold their breath. Like you see, the breath holds, right, is a measure of your body tissue oxygenation level. So we teach people a process in every morning to check in with how long they can hold their breath after a normal inhale, exhale, right? That gauges their body tissue oxygenation level. But in various techniques, you can hack that by holding it maybe 3 or 4 times longer. So with our Soma breath journeys, you're going to hold the breath 60 seconds or 90 seconds or even longer. And there, this is where you release the Soma within. The Soma is just a name for this endogenous feel-good hormones, tryptamine, dopamine, endorphins, the endocannabinoid system, that gets turned on during these states where your brain thinks it's running out of oxygen, right? The brain thinks it is. It works like psilocybin does, DMT does. So you can get results akin to these effects. And what happens during this process of breath holds is that your default mode network shuts down. So the activity of the brain, because of the reduced oxygen, that deals with your sense of self, your ego, starts to quieten down. And then the other parts of the brain's awaken as a result of that. And then your sense of identity and ego starts to dissolve. This allows you to change your perception of who you are and reprogram your default mode to who you really want to be using visualization, hypnotic techniques. This is what instructors are trained to deliver, is these powerful imprinting processes. And the mystical experience is considered like the most powerful state change of all, that allows people to transform the most effective way. So our transformational coaches, it takes a few levels to get to that point. We don't just let anyone do this. Our fully trained master instructors or transformational coaches, they are the masters of leading people through mystical experiences that actually scientifically will produce our own brain's version of DMT or serotonin and dopamine and tryptamines, but also allows to program the brain back to who you want. It's a brain change according to will, according to your true will.
Awesome, man. And so you mentioned there about the mystical experience. Have you had any personal, profound mystical experiences?
Oh, I have personally myself, and the first time I led like this breathwork session outside of where I used to be in Thailand, Koh Phangan, was in Bali. And this was the proof of magic in my divine flow. I've had many more since, but this was the first proof that comes to me. And it's so insanely cool that it made me realize I'm on the right path and there is some force guiding me. There has to be, because the chances of what happening are just too crazy small for it to not be anything other than that. And that's what that belief is, what keeps me going, the belief in the magic of the universe. But do you want me to tell you the story?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so I went to Bali. I don't know if you know yourself, but I produced all the music to Wim Hof Method, and I used to work with Wim in the early days before he was super famous. And then I left for Koh Phangan. I wanted to do my thing. I moved to Koh Phangan to live the hippie lifestyle, digital nomad, all of that. And but I was starting to experiment with other pranayama techniques and all this amazing music I'd been developing. So I went to Bali and I caught everyone's attention because I broke the ice bath record there. I did 32 minutes. So I know it's just techniques. Anyone can do it, but you don't need to do it. But it was just a funny thing. Because I'd been hanging out with Wim. And I got a few people's attention who then were like, can you do a class with us at our villa? So I went there the next day to do a class. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do my breath work experience, which is all about rhythmic breathing, right? To a music, to a beat, and breath retentions that get you into very deep breath hold states. Like you're holding your breath for several minutes, all right? Invoking this state that I'm talking about, this near-death experience state, which isn't at all harmful. It's you're tricking the brain, right? It's an illusion that we create, but it's very, very powerful. It's just like how psilocybin works and things like that. So basically I did this one session and I did this whole spiel at the beginning of it about the number 1111, because I'd met a few years before that, met Uri Geller. Uri Geller is a famous mystic in the UK who bends spoons with his mind, supposedly, right? Nobody knows for sure what's true and what's not with Uri Geller. But I did have the pleasure of hanging out with him a bit, and he became a fun, kind of cool guy to hang out with and a mentor. And he inspired me to keep on the path of my journey. But he told me about the 1111s being this very significant number, right, to him. And he called his company 1111 Limited and so on and so forth. So that stuck with me. And from that point on, lo and behold, as you do, where your attention goes, energy flows. I just keep seeing 1111s everywhere. But that could be just chance, right? Synchronicity, where you're tuning in, is where what you're going to see the most. But this story is just too insane. And I've had many others more crazy than this. Firstly, as I was telling the story, somebody went, oh, you know, there's 11 people in this group right now. I was like, oh, wow. Okay, that's cool. But then do the session. The end of it, this guy comes, we do a sharing circle. Right at the end of this, guy comes up and gives me this massive hug at the end of it. It was a really deep session. And he's like, you just changed my life, man. You just changed my life. I was like, well, what happened? You want to share? Basically, he said that he basically has been an atheist his whole life. His dad is a preacher, and his dad didn't treat him well. So he'd rebelled against his dad and religion and things. It's all bollocks. So he never believed in God until just now. So he said he went into another altered state. He doesn't know where he went, but he was speaking directly now to a higher power that was like God or some angels. And it taught him so much about reality and life and his path and the mission that he's on and all these things. And he said that this was the most profound thing. I believe there's a higher power now. I'm fully adamant there is one. Like I think my dad was right all along, but maybe that system is broken, but I believe in this higher power and you've just changed my life. And he says, I think it's going to help me heal my relationship with my dad, because now I understand him. I was like, wow, holy shit, this is big.
Yeah.
So the next day, but that's not where it ends. The next day, he wanted me to show him the ice bath stuff. So we went to the local gym and went to the ice bath there. So I went there and I asked him, can you upload a testimonial like of your story of what happened? So he uploads it and he goes, bro, I noticed it. I said, dude, you do realize this message you just left me is exactly 11 minutes, 11 seconds long. Like, did you do that on purpose? He goes, oh my God, I didn't even know that. I just switched it on record, rambled, and then stops. And that was it. I was like, that's insane. And then he goes, yeah, but what's more insane is that my first company in Bali, he's been living in Bali for many years, is actually 1111 Surfboards. That was the name of the company. And it was the one that took off very well. And that's why he's in Bali. And he brought me a t-shirt with it on, the logo, 1111 Surfboards. And he handed it to me. The whole thing is on YouTube. That was my first real solid testimonial, like that session I did outside of Copenhagen, where I knew now, this was like beyond just doing it with my mates. Right? So before it was just with my friends, but now this was like, I wanted to go to Bali to see if it works with other people who don't even know who I am. This is the first insane testimonial that I got. Another lady out of that group cured herself of cancer because of what happened as a result of that, what the messages she got in that session, and so on and so. There were so many crazy things that happened out of that 11. So I was like mind blown. I was like, that is, how many more signs do you need? So from that point on, there's been more and more. So like the next time I went to Wim's house, my mum and dad had to downsize my office because I was a digital nomad. I didn't have a place in the UK. So my office became my mum's new apartment, and the number is 11. And then when I went to Wim's house, his door number is 11, and so on. And just nonstop synchronicity around 11 and 11-11. So we use that number a lot in our mission statements and stuff, and even our prices. So that's just some of the mystical types of experiences. But a lot of people report that they have experiences like they've been done ayahuasca or mushrooms, or they spoke to God, they spoke to the divine, or like they spoke to their grandma. I remember that was when Marissa Peters, a famous hypnotherapist, did one of my sessions. Her feedback at the end of it was she just had a whole conversation with her mum, who died like not that long ago. And it was so profound to her, so clear, that she was just blown away. So breath work can create mystical states where it's like supernatural. And so but it has to be done in the right ceremonial sitting with a good person who knows how to hold space. And that will then provide the safe space to really heal and transform at a very deep level.
Powerful stuff, man. Like helping someone discover God and then helping someone else lead themselves to curing cancer. That's fucking huge, just to put it bluntly. Really powerful stuff, man.
And now Cambridge University are doing studies on our technique, and they're comparing it. They were just in Argentina and they just did 40 people study with Bufo, DMT, Cambridge, with all their machines and stuff. And now they're comparing it to Soma Breath.
So wait,
not just DMT, psilocybin, MDMA, a bunch of drugs.
So say that again. They took your method, or they developed their own method that's similar?
No, my method. Yeah, they're using my protocol. I'm leading it with them.
I see. Okay. Together.
And Cambridge University.
Is that in the process of coming out, or is it out now? Or can we find
it? Yeah. In a few months, November, December, you'll get some results.
Interesting. Cool. Awesome, man.
So that's an expansion on the video that you just mentioned, the Jeff Tarrant video. So he did it on a small scale with 6 people, and he showed some profound results, how our brain changes just like psilocybin during one of our breath sessions, just 22 minutes. Now, Cambridge saw that, got very inspired, and then I did a much more elaborate study because of that.
Awesome. And,
my mom always said to me, like, you know, if you study really hard, you can go to Cambridge one day. That was a dream. I go to Cambridge or Oxford, right? Because some of our relatives, that they've done that. And I'm never going to do that. It's just not my thing. I don't work hard enough academically. but Cambridge came to me instead. So, you know, I'm still kind of working with, went to Cambridge, but now it's more they're experimenting on my protocol rather than me going there to study someone else's, which is, I think is way cooler.
Absolutely. Yeah, bro, definitely. That testimony you mentioned, is that on the Soma Breath YouTube channel?
Yeah. Just that go one. To, just type in 1111 Soma Breath testimonial. You'll see it.
Awesome. Cool. And yeah, so just to wrap it up here, is there anything else you'd like to share whilst I've got you here on everything we've spoken about?
So I'm on a mission. I believe like a lot of people have been doing jobs that they've been veered into because of culture, society, the schooling system, parents, conditioning. And they maybe not wanting to do that. Maybe they want to do something more worthwhile. They want to give back. They want to do something that helps. Now, I really believe I've created a system that does that and more. It really goes to the next level. More and more science is backing this up. It's very holistic. And right now we have a mission because of COVID, and there's so much more trauma in the world. There's so much more stress, so many more, you know, sick and depressed people, so many people with health issues. So the market has been opened up for coaching and therapy and healing services. I'm not saying that like as a capitalist, as an opportunist. What I'm saying is that we have a mission now beyond ourselves to heal the planet and bring it back into harmony. Because human beings who are traumatized, sick and depressed can go on to do really bad things and follow very bad orders from people who don't have your best interests. So we have a duty to, if you're healthy, well, fit and able to learn simple stuff that can make a huge impact in the world today, because then you'll become truly abundant, truly free. You'll be on the right side of history. If you continue to do the same mundane shit, knowing that there's another way, but you don't do it because you're lazy, you fear stepping up and changing, or you simply just want to, you know, numb yourself and become comfortably numb, then you're missing out on a major opportunity that we've got. And you're going to stay in this cycle that creates the wrong side of history. The problem that we've got going on right now is this polarization. So I want you to be, everybody to be on the right side of history. You have the opportunity. It doesn't have to even be my course. There's many other people doing similar kinds of things. They're all lots of great stuff. So just find one that you like, that you can use to make an impact. It doesn't even have to be in the health and wellness world. There's other technologies coming out that are helping people. There's biohacking. There's all kinds of amazing stuff. There's AI technology. There's all sorts of ways to break free of doing the old, boring, routine, numbing shit that makes you unhappy. Because everyone has the right, when they're born, the birthright, to be healthy, happy, high. That's my rules for life. Healthy, happy, high. We all have those. By high, I mean high vibe, right? High, as in elevated. We all have this as our birthright. But we don't, most of us are the opposite of that. We are unhappy, unhealthy, and low, right? And we don't want that. So if you fit into any of that, if any of those three is the opposite of healthy, happy, high, that's the time to wake up. Because if you keep that going on for too long, you're going to get disease and then you're going to get really sick. And right now, if you get sick in America, for example, you're going to end up on medical bills and you're going to end up really, really a burden, not only to yourself, but to people, other people. And that's where you don't want to be. And you're going to end up like bankrupted. In America, for example, if you end up on a system where you need surgery, or if you have a heart attack in America, just to get the heart surgery is like you end up $300,000 in debt immediately. I know somebody that happened to recently. It's insane. In the UK, we have a NHS system, which is kind of good, but not really, because they're not going to save everybody. You're going to suffer if you have to depend on them. So it's time to wake up, take personal responsibility. And if you're already healthy, happy, high, and you want to do something really meaningful and go next level, then use Soma Breath techniques to do that. Right. Yeah.
Brilliant, man. Thank you. And just quickly, where can we find your work? other than your YouTube? What's your site? What's your plug your site?
Yeah, so it's Instagram is Soma Breath. There's also my Instagram, Neeraj Naik Official. I say a reel a day keeps the doctor away. So I put up a reel every day with a tip or a technique that if you just implement one idea a day, you're going to get a lot of benefits. And then we have YouTube, which is Soma Breath. And we have, what else? We have our website, somabreath.com. And you sign up for the free masterclass. I'll give you some links you can share.
Yes.
And you can learn more doses, have routines you can do each day. It will give you profound changes.
Brilliant. Thanks for joining me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, my friend. Hope that was useful.
Absolutely.
Much love, man.
See you, bro.
Peace.